Jesus would like to tell you a story. And the title of this heart stream is, I Am the Way of the Sun, Inspiring You to Be Mindful. And this story involves the time that he spent for 40 days in the wilderness. Now, in some Christian traditions, they say the wilderness was in the desert. It wasn't all in the desert. Jesus didn't stay in one place that entire 40 days. Yet, what he did do during a good portion of that time, in fasting and in prayer, was to commune with the sun. Because he too, as an initiate, understood the importance of the sun as the source of life for the earth and for all the evolutions upon earth. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was speaking as the Christ, as the Son of God, not just as Jesus, the man. And the way of the sun is the way of the sun. The way of the S-O-N is the way of the S-U-N. The star that happens to be at the center of our solar system. During these 40 days, Jesus made such a connection with the sun of God within the sun that it amplified within his being the Christos, the Logos, the very living light of his presence manifest through his higher mind. And through his higher mind, he was able to bring forth beautiful teachings to the people of that region of the earth. His parables, his stories, his Sermon on the Mount were all infused with the energy of the sun that was fused within him because of his deep communion with the source. Remember that the sun, as we learn it in physics or in science, consists of this continuous fusion of hydrogen atoms into helium. Hydrogen has one atom, remember? It's the first element on the periodic table. And helium is the second element in the periodic table. So helium has two atoms of hydrogen, whereas hydrogen has one. So helium results in the fusion of two hydrogen atoms continuously within the sun. So the sun is the perfect example of an ongoing alchemy of fusion. You've heard this science before, right? You've heard it in science class. It's the perfect blending of alpha and omega in that fusion. That's the explosion of light within the core of the sun that is creation happening over and over millions and billions and trillions of times for millions and billions of years. It's amazing to think that within the sun, this is happening continuously for billions of years. and the fire and the light is continuing to emanate. What Jesus would like us to know is that the light of your Christ self is as powerful and radiant as the light of the physical sun that we experience in the heavens. Because the light that you are as a son of God, male or female, is the same essence and light that is there in the sun. And when you are fused to God in your consciousness, the same type of divine fusion and the explosion of these energies of pure light and love manifest within your being, within you as a living Christed being. And every ascended master knows this. And you as initiates are moving higher in consciousness to follow Jesus' example. I am the way of the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me, not Jesus the man. No man comes to the Father, the great central Son of the I am that I am, except through the Christ consciousness, which is manifesting that sonship, which is manifesting the divinity stepped down into the Christ consciousness or essence that Jesus was one with as the Son of God. This enfiring of us in our Christ self is a powerful co-creative act that will continue during the initiatic path as you meditate and pray daily, as you do your spiritual work, dance the panurhythmi, as you serve others in your vocation, as you give to others, to God, to the universe, to one another. We are emulating the sun in everything we do. If we are true givers, we give as the sun gives, unconditionally, to everyone. If we are true lovers, we love as the sun does, unconditionally, to every life form. If we are truly forgiving, we forgive unconditionally ourselves and others as the sun forgives within its rays of perfect divine intelligence. The sun inspires us to be mindful in every ray that it shares as it shines upon the just and the unjust alike. The sun is inspiring us to be mindful day and night because it's always there, even though part of the earth is turned away from the sun during our night hours. The sun is still shining, just we're not facing that light of the sun at that time. Woe unto us who turn away from the sun consciously in our night time, when we are darkened by consciousness less than our true self, when we are engaged in the ego and living an egoic life. If you look back at your life at times when you were operating out of your ego, you know really that you were turned away from the light of the sun of your presence in those moments of unconsciousness. And yet when you turn toward the sun, when you were observant of the light, when you felt and saw that light, then you received the divine inspiration, wisdom, and truth that you required to walk in the way of the sun, the way of the Christ. So a part of us, even while we are asleep, should be turned toward the sun in our consciousness, so that we are always aware, alert, awake in our higher self. When we are awake and alert and aware, Jesus says we are mindful. What are we full of? The mind of God. So awake, alert, aware. These are all very similar words. Awake and aware only have one different letter. What are the two words in Swedish for awake and aware? Are they similar?
No.
No. Okay. Well, it works in English. Okay. Okay, so in any case, when you're awake, aware, and alert, that's when you are mindful, full of the mind of the Christ, full of the mind of God. When you are ignorant, when you are asleep, when you are unconscious, you are not mindful in the highest way. You are purposely ignoring the truth, the way, and the life of the Christ. Therefore, how can we remain alert, awake, and mindful? Remember, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said to his disciples to pray. And yet, what happened? They fell asleep. Why did they fall asleep? Because they couldn't maintain the consciousness of alertness and awakefulness to the energies that were bearing down upon Jesus as he was receiving the last initiations before his passion, the trial, the scourging, the walk to Golgotha, the crucifixion, etc. They could not bear the same energies that he was bearing in his body, and therefore they fell asleep. How could they have remained awake? By being more loving, obedient, conscious of what he was going through, of supporting him, praying for him, and moving beyond the constraints of the human body by being so attentive to the spirit that the spirit overrode the density of the body so that they could retain the essence of the light within their chakras and their being to stay awake. Sometimes when you have been in the bliss of being with a master teacher, you lose all sense of time and space, and you can stay awake through the night to hear teaching, to hear the beauty that is expressed, and you lose all sense of sleep and sleepfulness because you are enwrapped in the moment, in the now, of this aliveness and this power and majesty of the Holy Spirit's presence right then and there, and that takes hold of you and dissipates the physical tiredness. Okay? And if you can retain this sense of alertness, awakeness, and aliveness, then no matter what is transpiring in the outside world, you will be mindful in that moment of what God is presenting to you of the path, of the way, and of the life, of your soul, one with God, of your spirit as it moves and courses through the dimensional planes of this earth, moving ever toward the sun of perfect peace and divine power and divine glory. I remember times in my life during conferences with Elizabeth Clare Prophet where we would decree for hours and hours and hours in a chapel or what we call King Arthur's Court or the Chapel of the Holy Grail. And yes, there were times when we did get sleepy, and yet there are other times when the expectancy of the coming of a great master was so intense that we couldn't help but be alive and awake and alert, because at any moment the master may appear and come, and we desired to be there. And so that energy was pouring and coursing through our chakras and our being, because how could we miss it? We had to be there for Saint Germain or El Morya or a Chohan or an archangel. And therefore we were ready. We were alert. We determined that come what may, we would stay awake. And sometimes we were there till 1 or 2 in the morning. And then we could go home. And even then, sometimes it was hard to go to sleep because you were supercharged with the energy of the dictation. And then maybe you required only a few hours of sleep and you were refreshed, and that's all it took. You know some yogis in the Far East? They meditate and they don't require as much sleep because they are super conscious. And that super consciousness displaces the need for the restoration of the physical body and the cells within the temple that most of us require to rejuvenate overnight, to refresh. They have the light pouring through their being 24/7, and that energy gives them the boost of what they require. You've read about this. Now, I'm not advocating that you just stay up from now on all night long and pray and decree and then go to work the next day and then find yourself like this at work and your coworkers are saying, "What's going on with you?" I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying that some have demonstrated that level of mastery. The wakefulness, the alertness, the awareness was in their consciousness. The spirit so infused itself through them by their determination to be one with God that that power of their intention and determination thrust them through the initiatic cycles of what they were experiencing, so that they could master it. They could be there and receive the full energy of the vibrations that the master was pouring out in that moment. You know, some conferences, especially early on in your path, when you come and you know the master is in the room and giving you the power of God through the discourse of a true teacher, that sometimes you fall asleep, because you can't handle the energy of the release that is happening energetically. You can't. And so you conk out. Later, as you learn to retain the energy within your chakras, within your heart and your higher mind and your soul and every one of these chakras and in your electronic body, then you can stay awake and you won't conk off, even if it's hot out like now. No, I'm seeing you're all pretty alert tonight. 1 or 2 are, you know, ready to doze off. So sometimes eating a little bit less will have less stuff in the stomach for you to digest, and then you can concentrate the energy up here rather than down there. Right? We've all experienced it. And many true masters and initiates can get by on less food, and I have a lot to learn there. So, I'm with you on that one. Jesus, back to Jesus. What did he live on during those 40 days? Light. The light of the sun. He lived on that light. He assimilated that light. He became that light, so that he could then share that light through healing, through divine works, through teaching, through his public demonstrations, and all that he did in private that was often more powerful than what he did in public. This is what he desires for you to know. It is often what you do in the privacy of your meditation and your oneness with God, through the supreme effort that you put into who you are becoming as a Christed one, that is more powerful than what you do publicly or what you demonstrate to others. Because, let's face it, Others only know a part of us, who we truly are, as who we are in private, that no one sees, that only God sees and witnesses. It's the true us that we know, because we know our hearts, when we truly know ourselves, and we know what we put into our spiritual path, when we give and give and give, when we love God, when we read the scriptures, when we study and are mindful, and when we are diligent in becoming that which our teachers, the true teachers, have shared with us, because we so desire to be like them and emulate them and become a true master, first a disciple and then an initiate and ultimately a master, that we have to follow them all the way. We cannot stop in just being a friend or a disciple. The true disciples move on to their mastery, and they become the master, and then they become a teacher. Only when the Holy Spirit tells you it's time for you to share should you expound the teaching, because it may take years of assimilation and proving the law in your being before you are really called to demonstrate through public teaching. And the master has shared many times, people that think that they're already a master and go out and start a following and start a teaching and start an organization, have they become the teaching first? Have they demonstrated humility first? So that when they are accosted with the energies of criticism from the opposition to what they are beginning, they will be able to handle it. You will know the time and the hour, because the Holy Spirit will tell you when it's time for you to really launch forth and begin your mission in earnest. And there may be steps and stages and trials where you begin and where you have some interesting things happen along the way, where you have your tests and you experience what it's like to be in the seat where I am today. The strength that comes by your attention upon God and your devotion to your presence and your communion with the Son is what will make the difference for your victory. The more disciplined you are, the more determined you are to be victorious and to love through every initiation, through thick and thin, will make the difference. And whether you will be successful and fulfill victoriously your life calling and your mission. And humility is always the key. Humility is the byword of the initiates and the true masters. If you decide, because you are handsome or beautiful or smart, to go out there in the public and to preach or to do something dramatic without humility, watch out, because you will be called to task and you will be floundering in your ego until you surrender that ego. And God finally comes to you and caresses you with the power of the Holy Spirit and then presents the light, the truth, and the way through you. I believe all of you in this room have the ability, through humility, to be a vessel for truth, for love, for world transformation. That's why you are in this movement. This movement is not for those who desire an easy path, who like the fluff, who like the flavor of the path of initiation. This movement, as I've shared before, is for those who desire the meat of the word. Meat meaning the core of it, the essence of it. This movement is for those who are truly determined to go all the way with the masters and to be true servant leaders always servants first, only leaders, when you realize that leadership is all about service. The greatest among you must be the servant of all. I feel a connection, and Jesus feels that connection with your hearts. Because, you know, He's had that connection with our hearts for many lifetimes. Many of you have known Him in past incarnations. Many of you have been involved in communities of the Holy Spirit, with the Essenes or with other wonderful communities of light that Jesus has been at the forefront of, either helping establish or lead or in some way interacting with, as well as Saint Germain, El Moria, and other masters. And when we have this sense of our fellowship and our brotherhood, our sisterhood, such as we have tonight, and this feeling of really being one as a community, it's powerful. And there's trust, and there is light charging us all together as one. And those of you who have maybe more experience in this life, in the I Am teachings, can be the ones who are the superchargers of others as the new initiates come in and are a little timid and require some nurturing and some care, tender loving care, and maybe coaching. So those of you who are tested and true and tried by the fire, lovingly share with those who are new your essence, because it may make the difference for them and their struggles and their strife and their coming to terms with the shift that's happening within them as they are moving into this new reality that they're accepting as the way for them. Not everybody who's attended every conference is there week after week, year after year, on the initiatic path, as I would hope for. Because things happen in their lives, they go through tests, we go through divorces and loss of job and loss of income or whatever it is. Yet when you put God first in your life, no matter what happens on the outer, you will have the resources to make it somehow, some way, because God will show you that way. So God bless you.